This is a love story. This is a love story about a girl and her studio.
Gotta get messy and show the world you're growing as an artist. And you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get messy says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tough, and so you must find a way to feel some connection. We got a lot of people with the same kind. A great mind, we're here for you. A platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you're bored of them same rules.
This is a love story. This is a love story about a girl and her studio. After 4 years in a new country, I still hadn't made any good friends in my area. I had made acquaintances here and there and had friends within train distance, but my main homeboys were three gorgeous, almost 100-year-old people that I walked my dog with daily. I learned their dogs' names, but I only ever learned one of theirs. And it was also by accident. I worked for myself from home and I was living in my third language. And this doesn't give much of an opportunity for making friends. And then my business partner left the business. The person I was talking to every day was no longer there. And I think that this was the catalyst to realize something that I should have known before. I was cripplingly lonely. And let me tell you, I felt so much guilt about that loneliness. I had a lovely husband, a literal ray of sunshine for a child, and I could speak bad German to old people who could barely hear me on my dog walks. I had a loving family through WhatsApp and FaceTime, and I had a community of incredible artist friends and humans online. Later, I was listening to a Brené Brown podcast and she spoke about being lonely without being alone and that you need more than one type of human interaction. And I finally let go of the guilt of being lonely surrounded by people. And I remember at this time, I messaged my two best friends. They're both expats, one in London, one in Switzerland. And I asked them, how do you guys deal with this foreigner loneliness? Our situations were a little bit different. I think they are a little bit more extroverted than I am. And they also had office jobs and office mates, and they could speak language that's in their heart. I wanted to know if they also had this loneliness. Was life so difficult? And I found out that it was the same for them. I learned it's the same for all humans. Being an expat doesn't mean I'm the only person who's ever going to feel lonely. Working alone didn't mean that my life was more difficult. And my best friends helped me see that loneliness, it was just like most other things in life, conquerable. I could tackle it the way that I tackle all of my issues. Make a list, action it, and then maybe I could stop feeling like I might puke from loneliness. Things aren't like they were in university. You don't automatically make friends. It's something that you have to work at. In the past, pouring myself into the people inside of Get Messy, online community, that was what helped the loneliness. It had helped countless times before. But it wasn't this time. I knew that I had to see real life, actual people. If you're feeling lonely, I'm going to share my list. I joined meetup.com. I rejoined a Facebook group for South African expats. I hate that group. I hate Facebook groups. I hate Facebook, but I did it. I knew that there were South Africans in Germany that I could speak to and we could bond if based on nothing else, based on the fact that we're South Africans in Germany. I also shared my loneliness online, and that led to others sharing their loneliness, which made me feel less alone. I also received recommendations such as Gone Girl International, Girl Gone International. And that was from Mariah, who's an expat in Spain. And then there was the big one, the big item on my to-do list. I began my search for a co-working space so that I'd be forced to wash my hair, put on some bands, leave the house. There is a happy ending to the story. I'm no longer lonely. There is another happy ending to the story. I now work outside the house. And I want to chat about that in this podcast episode. I want to talk about the differences between having a studio at home and having a studio outside, what it can do for your creativity, your productivity, your self-worth, everything. I'm just gonna chat about that. I want to give you some background first. My studio, I call my studio, in reality, it's an office. I'm not making money from my art directly. I don't sell my art. I just have a creative business. And so my art can't pay for the space, but my business can pay for the space. My work revolves around creativity and encouraging others to be creative. And so part of that is actually making stuff every day. There's a quote from Emily Jeffords. It's kind of like her mantra. And she said something that speaks really deeply to me and something that I've found to be true. And that is, your creative business is only as strong as your creative practice. And so I've noticed that big time. When you run a creative business, it can be really tough to create for yourself sometimes. It's, you know, when you turn anything into work, it makes it work. It's not easy. And that's the hard part of running a creative business, right? It's not all magic. It mostly is, but it's hard when you're forced to create. And so I create here in my studio every day. But mainly I'm running a full-time six-figure business, managing a small team of location-independent people from the space. So yeah, that is my studio, office, atelier, workspace. And so when I started my search, I was just looking for a desk. I already had a studio space that I was paying a small amount of money for, but it was in a basement. And yeah, so when I started looking, it was just for the desk, And I came across something that was called a creative incubator. Now, I'm sure you know about the Silicon Valley incubators. They put computer nerds in a house together at the start of their business, give them access to knowledge and help, and they watch as it pays off. And it's the same reason engineers and doctors and actuaries, all of my friends, get phoned from banks offering fancy credit cards. I remember when we all left university, all my friends were getting the calls for the premier banking, private banking. Not me, though. Not me. But the banks know the potential, and it's like a similar setup with incubators. And so there was this place, and it was run by a section of the government, and basically for creative nerds at the beginning of their company's life. And so even though my business was not new, started in 2014, this was in the middle of 2019, it was German new. When my business partner left, I had to create a new German business. And so I qualified. And I filled out the application form, and I can't tell you, like, it's stressful filling out application forms, but doing one in a language that's not your first. Do you know how many times I checked my German grammar of the application form? Like, I was more worried about that than about the content, and maybe that's what gave me some guts. And they responded. I couldn't believe it. Things are weird when you run an online business. You kind of disconnect from the real world a bit. But I had to prepare a presentation about my company. I took a video with, I took some art journals in person to explain what the heck art journaling even is. I took all of my financial statements, my demographics, all of it. And I can't even explain the nerves that I had talking in person when I ran an online company. I walked into that room, I thought it was going to be a one-on-one, and there were five women across the biggest table I've ever seen, and they were all there just to listen what I had to say. But this is what I was asking you for. This was outside my comfort zone, completely vulnerable, telling someone how legit my business is and how they should put their faith in me that it's going to make them proud one day. Not only me, but them too. I mean, I obviously got in. Not obviously. Now it's obvious. Back then, not at all obvious, especially with terrible German. You're already making a bad impression. They obviously liked it as much as I did. Okay, so I'm going to type out the space. I've got a love-hate relationship with this city. It's a UNESCO city of media arts. So they're doing a lot of work to make the city more creative and engage in its creative side and its artistic side. So that's pretty exciting. And the building is in a creative part of that creative city. There are a bunch of art museums nearby. And this part is called the Old Slaughterhouse in German. It's a collection of buildings that were part of an old slaughterhouse. And it was restored for new use, was going to be demolished. And then someone decided, wait, we can do something here. And so they started restoring it. And the building that I'm in is the old animal market hall. The offices inside are all shipping containers, real life upcycled shipping containers. Some are just one, some are three put together. The first time I saw it, it was after the meeting, and the lady asked, have you seen the space? And I was like, I can go to the space? Like, I have been searching Google relentlessly. I have looked at every single page on the website. I had looked at the Instagram hashtag, the location, the geodata. Like, that's my extent of it. And so after the meeting, I came here, and the first time I saw it, it literally took my breath away. There isn't anything normal about this space, and I've never seen anything this hipster. I think my parents still don't quite understand it and wonder why I'm not making enough money to afford something. Like, why would I stay in this place with, you know, exposed pipes, graffitied walls, broken tiles? Very hipster place. And when I first moved in on 1st of January 2020, I was sharing a three-container space with another woman who's running creative in-person workshops. And last week, I moved into my own single-container space. And that's what I'm going to tell you about now. If you'd like to look at photos, I have a million of them. And I share it on Instagram a lot just because, man, I can't tell you, like, the feeling of having a space outside of your space that houses your creativity. It's a good feeling. So briefly, I'm on the ground floor right next to massive windows. It's perfect for filming. It's perfect for light, happiness, freedom. Okay. It's pretty great. It is a shipping container. The walls are all magnetic. The walls are all white. It's very minimalist inside. Big windows. Yeah. I've got a desk in here. And I've also got a little outside area too. So it's outside, but it's still inside the hall. And so what I've done is I've kept the inside shipping container. That is my work area. That is work time there. And then outside, right next to the windows, that is my creative area. And so I've got two massive, forgot the English word for tables outside there. And I've got a standing desk inside. I've got a massive screen. It is 49 inches ultra wide. It is 1.25 meters wide. It is a beast and I love it. And my computer's new too. I love it. I love it. Everything is just working in the space. And it's been, man, it's been a long time coming. Before this, I've had basement. I had my son's room before my son was around. I've had just a desk. I've had barely the kitchen table. I've used my parents' dining table. I've used my bed, my lap. This is a long time coming, and I'm, oh man, like talking about it today, I just feel very grateful for having it and so in love with it, so in love with it. I really took my time in deciding what to put in this space. I knew that I was going to put all the old vintage German furniture that my husband hates and I can't have it, I'm not allowed to have at home. I knew that was going to go here. I've also got two standing desks. They're supposed to be adaptable, but they barely are, for creating. And they were made by Egon Eiermann, who is, as it turns out, a very famous architect. So he made these tables for himself. He designed them just for himself as an architect because he's sitting there the whole day. And then they started selling them because they were so great. But something cool about him is he's famous for a very famous church that has my heart in Berlin. Then he came to the city where I am now and he taught at the university. So he's pretty famous here. I think having his tables also helps me put my roots down in Germany and in the city a lot more. I have two massive apothecary cabinets. One is, I mean, it's not really apothecary. One is a library filing system, which I discovered. So a lot of drawers, and I can pull them out. I keep all my art supplies in there. They're so well organized. They're really, really great. And they also come out. So when I'm creating, I can just, you know, if I'm using acrylics or gouache, I can take out the entire drawer and keep that on my table with me. Table's also huge. Have I spoken about the tables yet? My tables are 2 by 1 meter each. So massive. Absolutely massive. I also have two white IKEA shelves. They're the Fjord, no way I can pronounce it, but they're white. They're super sturdy. They've got 4 drawers at the bottom each. And it was a big decision for me, but I brought all my journals, not all my journals, half of my journals maybe from home, and they're on the shelves there. I have plants. Lots and lots of plants. More than that, yeah, I think I've got little pieces of me and little pieces of people that are important to me that have, you know, made gifts. I've got a postcard, a Get Messy postcard that says the path to making good art includes making bad art. And that's from Annika from The Handcrafted Story. I have weaving. I'm just like looking around and just getting so happy. But there's bits of me all over the studio. It's not a busy studio. It's still very minimalist in my opinion. But the environment is not minimalist. It's kind of raw and stripped. It has graffiti on the walls. It has the broken tiles. It has the exposed brick that's been painted white. It has a story. All of it has a story. And so I'm just excited about being here. I think I've spoken enough about my space. I'm going to share a bit more about my decision-making process around it. You can obviously tell that this was the right decision for me. I am not 100% sure if I would have done this if I wasn't feeling lonely. I really like being at home. I'm not sure if I would have done it if I was back in South Africa, if I had a lot of friends that were visiting me at home, if I was leaving the house more often. There were days where I would not leave the house for a month before Elliot. I was just always at home. It was, like looking back now, like very unhealthy and a very easy way to make me depressed. And so the space is making sure that I'm getting showered, that I'm washing my freaking hair, even in winter, that I am putting clothes on, that I have clothes. You know, I have clothes again. It's not just a bunch of leggings and t-shirts, you know. And so all of my experience comes from that. So I want you to take that with a pinch of salt. So I'm going to be loving the space because of that and not just because it's a space. I think if you're not able to have a space outside of your studio, then it is a really good idea to have a space inside your house. So whether that is a desk, a dedicated desk or a dedicated room, maybe you're able to do that. If you're not able to do that, a tiny desk in your bedroom or a corner of the dining table that no one sits at because it's the worst position on the dining table. Having that space. Oh, also, if none of that is a possibility, then I recommend getting a little crate or box or pencil case or something like that and keeping everything in there. And so even though it's a movable space, it's your space. It's dedicated. That's where you go to release your truth, to explore yourself, to make art, have fun, play. Having a space is important. I want to talk about what I have noticed in my work, and I haven't written any notes, so this is a bit more conversational. But in my creative work, I have noticed that there is all of a sudden a big pressure to creating. It doesn't seem as seamless. And I think that also has to do with the fact that I'm working here. So when I'm creating, I'm feeling guilty that I'm not working, or I think about something to do with work and I'm like, okay, I'll quickly do that. And then I don't go back to creating. Or I'm sitting chatting to a friend during my break on WhatsApp and she sends me a gorgeous picture that she used gold leaf in. And I'm like, well, I need to, you know, screw work. Now after lunch, I'm going to go create. And then I don't create because the feeling passed. So there is this new internal play within myself where I'm struggling to separate it again. Something that I can do that helps that is having a dedicated time. So I had previously in the space, as soon as I got to work, I created. And I created for an hour. And it can be shitty creating, or I can make magic, but I'm just showing up and I'm just waiting to see what happens. I've also noticed that I am filling up journals more quickly and being even more minimalist. I am making a lot of quick decisions. I'm kind of just like throwing it all out there. So previously I took my time. I could create for days and days. I'm not finding that anymore. I'm finding that I need to create an entire journal and I need to put everything in there and I need to close that journal and I need to walk away from it. So maybe, you know, there's a lot been going on for me personally. And so maybe it's got to do with that and nothing to do with the space, but that's what's happening in my work at the moment. And if we want to look at what having a space has done for my professional work, it has been insane. I think that another reason for getting the space is that I wanted a work-life balance. And I wanted that work-life balance also with creativity, which sounds a bit weird, but I went through a stage where I was creating way too much and I wanted to be inspired and refill my well a bit. I think, you know, I've reached the end of that creative, boundless creativity, and things are calmer for me. Things are calmer for me in my heart, in my creativity, in my work. And so this space gives me more of an opportunity to have that work-life balance. And if you've ever worked, full stop, you know how difficult it is to find balance. So difficult. And for me, that balance is made and restored with clear boundaries. If I navigate away from there, I can rein it back in. But these boundaries are really important. And the space, this is where I work. This is where I create. I don't have, and this might be controversial, but I don't have any of my art supplies at home. I've brought home a journal once with a pen, and that was fine. But here's where I create, and this is where I work. And it's going to change again later, but this is what's working for me now. So when I leave the office, I close my container, I close my door, and I go home and I spend time with my family. And I do really ridiculous things like crossword puzzles. I love crossword puzzles. I'm not working all the time. I'm not working 100% of the time anymore. And let me tell you how good that is for work. And weirdly, for me right now, that's good for my creativity too, is not creating all the time and not creating on a deadline. I'm not working on any self-created courses inside Get Messy. I am not doing any YouTube videos. I'm not doing anything. I'm creating for myself and I'm realigning with myself. And I'm also realigning outside of creativity. And that's what things look like right now. And I think that that's the main difference between having a studio and having a home office. We recently moved houses, but before that, my office was in my lounge. It's a stupid, massive lounge, really ridiculously badly designed German long-ass lounge. And so I was living in that one room, really. All my off time was in that room. All my on time was in that room. It messed with my head. And so, yeah, that's the main difference between a studio and a home office is you get to explore all those different sides of yourself. You get to have a break. And I love what I do. I freaking love it. It is my absolute favorite. And so it's hard for me to take a break because I just want to keep doing it. And there's always something to do and it's always fun and I always love it. But it's important to sit back, to be mindful, to do nothing, to be slow. I think the pandemic has taught us that a little bit when we fight against the quiet and the silence and the calm and and just being with yourself when we fight against that is not good for our mental health. So let's turn it into something that you can take away. Let's summarize what I've said a little bit and make it applicable to you right now. If you're thinking about having a creative space, have the creative space. Do it. If it's feasible for you, do it. You are able to find one that fits your budget. I know that's the biggest consideration. And find a co-working space, a co-artist space, or one that you can hire on weekends, just a space. If you are a homeschooling mama there and you still want a space, perhaps on a weekend for a day, go to a space that is not your home. It can be a cafe. I know that that's difficult at the moment. It can be a park. It might be difficult with winter. All of these things, what you need to do is you need to put it out on the table. You say, this is what I've got right now. These are the facts. Facts are, you know, I don't have space at home. I don't have time at home. I've got a million children. I have all these things. I've got a day job. Okay, those are the facts. And now what else is the facts? I've got $50 a month to spare. Especially because I'm not spending money on takeaways or restaurants or whatever, you know. Fact is, you know, all these things. And if you still can't find a physical space, perhaps you want to find a digital space. Get Messy has something that we call Hangouts, where a bunch of creatives get together over Zoom and create. You can do that. You can join us. You can ask a few of your online art friends if they want to do that. A space doesn't always have to be a physical space. You can create that physical space. You can create that physical space in your life, like I was saying about my not finding the time to create. You just make that space. So for me, it's in the mornings and you do it. If you don't want to branch out of your house, especially now in the pandemic, then I really recommend that travel kit that I spoke about, an at-home travel kit. Just put all your favorite supplies into a little basket and move into a new space inside your house, inside your bedroom, and create that way. And then once you've made that space for yourself, whether it's a physical or digital or emotional space, just be mindful and see how it affects your creativity. Do you like it? Is it good for you? It might need some time before you're able to make a rational idea of the situation, a conclusion, hypotheses of, you know. But if you keep at it and you keep mindful and you move towards what moves you, that's where you find the magic. And maybe your space doesn't have the love story that mine has, but it's got a love story, and I encourage you to be grateful for it, whatever space you're able to carve out for art. Because art is magic, and when we give it space, it gives us space, and it's able to, it's, I don't know, it's like a friggin' flower, right? Instead of just trying to plant a seed amongst like all these bushes and stuff, if you plant it in the right place and you give it space, it's able to bloom and grow, and you're able to bloom and unfold.